Welcome to Clamp, the weekly podcast where we discuss all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Adam Mackey, and joining me is our usual host, Jesse Ratfink. Unfortunately, Grant can't be with us this week, but I was thinking today, I am pretty sure this is the first ever episode of Clamp that has only had two, like no guest. Usually really? We always get a fill-in. I'm pretty sure this is the first episode that it's just the two of us.
Wow. Okay, well, we're doing two weird things then, since we're talking about like video games today.
So Grant's not here, so we're taking it to do whatever the hell we want, because Grant's the one that keeps us in check. The whole reason why we don't have a guest is because Grant's the one that organizes everything. So we both are like, well, I don't know who to get, and then it was like the day before and we're just like, you know what, stuff it, let's just do a two-person one. Yeah, and then Grant's not here to tell us we can't talk about video games, so we're going to nerd out for a day. Two fun episodes in a row. How fun's that?
Yeah, I like this. And I mean, hopefully, you know, y'all will enjoy it, because, you know, I was thinking about it a lot, and all the video games that I get super sucked into are ones where you make stuff and you're like combining things and you have to get resources. And it's just, I don't know why I enjoy that so much in like my digital life as I do my physical life, but it is just so soothing. So
I was going to say quickly before you do click off, if you don't play games, is we're not actually talking about just games. We're talking about building in games and making in games and all that. So it is relatable to Clamp, but in the more fun digital escape from reality kind of
aspect. And you might hear of one that you haven't heard of before, or, you know, if you don't play video games and you're a maker, I would suggest maybe like trying a couple of these, just because you never know. You might get super sucked in. So because I don't know, I'm a big gamer and I just like to talk about them, and I can't recommend these games enough. Like, all of them are great. So
I agree. I mean, as I said in the pre-show for the Patreons, I love video games and I'm definitely a gamer, but I don't have the time or energy these days to play. But I'll get into some things. Like, the whole reason why I bought a gaming laptop was so that when I've got downtime at work, I can play games and stuff. And when like Ark 2 comes out, my mates will want to get on, so I'll be like the guy that gets on at 2 o'clock in the morning and feeds the dinosaurs and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's good.
The game is really fun, but like also very scary for me.
When we first started playing it, I hated it so much. It was so, like, I felt like you couldn't go 30 seconds without dying.
Yeah, it's like
a little raptor
point, and raptors.
A little raptor poison things, like, would just, they just piss me off.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's like right at the point where you've progressed enough to kind of be mobile, but you're not good enough to have a good base yet, and it's just terrifying for like days. Yeah, that one was too hard for me, I think. Tyler liked it a lot more than I did.
I definitely liked it, but I won't keep going on with Ark, but in case anyone is wondering, because my mates are like obsessed with it, so they're really following the production of number two. The problem we had with one is that if you were offline or whatever, like, that was it. Like, if you didn't get online in a day, your dinosaurs were going to die because you didn't feed them, or like trying to hatch eggs and stuff. Apparently in number two, you're going to be able to pause it, like the egg growth and stuff, which would be really good, because like, who the hell has time? Like, I remember my mates being like, oh yeah, I've set my alarm for 1 a.m. to wake up and go hibernate the eggs or whatever. Like, that. It's too much. So, that's how games take over your life.
Yes, it is. And I think that's a lot of why I don't do the multiplayer things, on top of being very bad at it in most part, just because so many of them are like shooters. I get worried about having to be online constantly to do things, and like other people, like in your guild or whatever, your party, are depending on you to get stuff done. And it's just like, I can't have two schedules. I don't want
to
have
a game. And that's what I say to my mates every time they start a new game. I'm like, I'm going to come on and play with you, but don't put me in charge of anything, because I don't have time to be coming on at the same time every day or whatever to do what you need me to do. I'll come on and play with you every now and then, but it might be like 2 weeks before I get on again. You just never know. But I hate, so many games are like it now, but I hate games that are real time. Like, you build something. Like, I remember, like, one of my favorite games growing up was Age of Empires. Mm-hmm. And it was so good, you know, like, you build something and, like, it'll build it. It'll take, like, a minute or whatever to build whatever. Now, it's like, come back in 24 hours real time for the thing yeah. to be actually built. Like, it's just stupid. It's not fun because it just takes too long.
Yeah. Well, and there, so the first game we're going to talk about is one of those, but it like,
yep.
it's not high stakes. So you don't really have to worry about it as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, there have been RPGs that I've played where it has to be active game time. Like the game is open and running for the timer to run on stuff. And I would just turn it on while I work during the day and keep the TV off because it's like,
yeah.
there's no way I'm going to be able to play, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours to unlock this, like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's, like, so yeah, much time.
It's too much.
Yeah, but so. I'm sorry. A video chopping the massive tree.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
There.
Hi. Oh, so cute.
What's that?
Sorry, my wife's decided to come bring things. What have you got? That's Jessie. Thanks, babe. My wife bought me a brand new phone.
Nice.
Hopefully it plays good games.
Yeah.
Back to the topic. I don't like mobile games.
Oh, I do because I am a fidgeter. Like, I have been playing Two Dots for, like, forever, the entire time the game has been out. It's, yeah.
What's Two Dots?
I have problems. It's basically where you have to match colors and you just draw lines to match colors.
Right.
It's really simple and they just keep making stuff for it and I just keep playing it because it's...
I've definitely had games on my phone that I got addicted to, but, like, mm-hmm. yeah. How, like, people, they got addicted to, what was that game?
Farm something?
No, like, the one where you got to match, like, the three in a row, like, how you got to move.
Oh, Candy Crush?
Candy Crush. Like,
those were the two big ones.
Yeah. I played Bejeweled when I was growing up, but Candy Crush, like, people were obsessed with it. It's literally the same thing over and over. And that's something I've been finding with games lately, especially, like, all these newer games. It's not on our list because it doesn't have building in it. But there was a game we played not long ago with my mates. I can't remember what it was called. But literally, like, every time you went to a battle, it was the exact same thing. The exact same amount of enemies came out and stuff, just reskinned.
Yep.
And I got over it so quick. And I'm like, I can't play this. And my mate's like, well, I'm like, it's literally – and once I put it out, it pissed them all off because they just couldn't stop seeing it.
Yeah, I don't do games like that. I think that's why I fall into, like, the resource-heavy, like, questing, having to gather stuff. Because, yeah, if you're just fighting over and over and over, it doesn't retain my attention at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I played Black Ops 2 for 12 months. 8 hours a day for 12 months. Wow. When I lost my job when I was younger. Like, I was pretty good. Like, but,
I bet. That's so much time. That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's like a Final Fantasy game for me.
Let's move away from non-making games. So our first game that you want to talk about. I haven't played this. My wife bought it and won't let me play it because she doesn't want me to wipe her map, even though she's played it for like half an hour and hasn't touched it in months.
Well, that's why we have two Switches. A big reason about it. So the first one is Animal Crossing New Horizons. This one came out in 2020, and it has additional DLC now where I think it's called Happy Home Academy, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the mobile one. But you can basically do interior design. It's on Nintendo Switch, and it's basically a life sim, but it's adorable animal life sim. No enemies, very low stakes. It is real time. But yeah, I mean, you're not going to like kill anything. By logging in, you're just going to have weeds growing and new flowers, probably. That'll be like the only thing that happens. And maybe one of your animals will move out, which sometimes is fine because some of the animals are terrible, to be honest. But this one is fun just because, like I said, it's super low stakes and you can still explore. It's not as big as any other game on this list, But you can take like boat trips to an island to like get rare resources or find rare recipes. Like there's all sorts of stuff that you can do without fighting, which is why I like it so much. And for everybody that this sounds good, but they really like Disney, there's actually a new game called Disney Dreamlight Valley that is an exact replica of the Animal Crossing New Horizons for Switch, just with Disney characters. But everything you can do in New Horizons, you do in Dreamlight Valley. So yeah, if you love Disney, I would recommend that one because it has like nice graphics and a lot of cool items from all the different movies. I've been playing it, but I'm just not, I'm not a Disney person. So I'm just playing it to fill time, really. I don't know. It's very fun though. And yeah, I really recommend that one for people who don't want to be stressed when they're gaming.
Yeah, I've seen like my, one of our best friends, she plays Animal Crossing like pretty religiously. And that's why my wife wanted to get into it because it's her best friend. So they wanted to play together. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's, I've never played it, so I can't really talk much about it. It looks good. It looks like, it looks very addictive, like Farmville.
It is. Well, I would say it's not Farmville levels of addictive, thankfully, because there's only so much stuff you can do in a day. So it's sort of, you know, you take your like trip on the boat, you water your crops, you walk around, you talk to all your neighbors, you find a recipe like normally on the island, on the beach, or like shooting down balloons, you can get new crafting recipes. So it's, yeah, I think it's mostly addictive to people who really like designing and also resource collecting, because that's like the two biggest things that you do in it. But we'll move on. Have you played Minecraft?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. So this one.
I love Minecraft.
Yeah, it's so good. It came out in 2011. This one, PC, Mac, Linux, is a sandbox game. So essentially, you don't have quests. You don't have goals that you're looking to complete. You're just sort of doing whatever you want.
They do make a quest version.
They do, yes. And I have mostly played modded Minecraft where I can get quests. Like, we had a Lord of the Rings pack that we played for a little bit, which the Hobbit houses were so cute. And that, like, they modded Minecraft is amazing. Vanilla has gotten better because the console versions are not great, I guess I would say. Yeah. There's just a lot lacking. But I included this one on the list because you do physical crafting, if we can call it that.
Yeah, yeah, like using a crafting table and stuff.
Yeah.
So what are, like I talked about before, like games that take so long to do things, one of like the best mods that ever came out for Minecraft was like the tree lopping one. So you cut down one block of a tree and the whole tree comes down. Yeah. I hate having to cut down a full tree.
The first time we played modded Minecraft with that and watched it disappear, I think
you can't go back.
Yelling. Yeah. I was so
you
good.
Cannot. You go back to vanilla Minecraft, you're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, that brought back so many memories. Just then it's like, because there, I just, before we had that mod, I just remember there would be so many times we'd clear a huge area to make a house. You make the house and then you look up and it's just a shit ton of leaves and bark that you couldn't get to. And it's just like, God damn.
Yeah, there's one fucking piece of trunk left in the in the leaves, and that stops the leaves from disappearing. I like vanilla Minecraft as well. Like, my son plays it on Switch, and then we can play on the same server with me playing on the computer, which is really good. But you have to play a certain version. You can't play the full version on the computer with it. So I'm like a bit limited to what I can do. But with the modded Minecraft, my favorite's like the challenge ones. So one of my favorite ever was Skyblock. Have you played that one?
Yes, I did play that one, but I didn't get too far because I was like, I can't go on adventures yet. So I just, But that one is fun. It's kind of like Minecraft Resident Evil in the sky where you're like super limited on what you have. And it was
So if anyone is wondering, Skyblock is you literally start in the sky on a block. I'm pretty sure there's a tree from memory and you're on like a three by three block. And you have to pretty much complete a diary of tasks. Mm-hmm. And all you have to start off with is like that tree. So you have to build from there. There's no other resources around at all. So you have to do things like, I think there might be, you get water and lava somehow. I can't remember. Maybe they're already on the island. But you have to make like a cobblestone generator to like get cobblestone. And like, it's really fun because it's like, it's really challenging. But
yeah, it's like a really intense puzzle. We kept getting stuck and having to Google, you know, to get our way out because it was just, it's very different from the other Minecraft versions, just because things don't always work the way that you would expect them to. So you'd try to use like your regular Minecraft reflexes and do something totally wrong and have to start over. Yeah, very tough.
Or you fall off the block and then lose everything in your inventory.
Losing everything
in your inventory. I can't tell you the amount of times I had to restart.
Mm-hmm.
Or you set up the cobblestone generator wrong and end up turning the lava into obsidian instead of the water into cobblestone. Fun times. Yeah.
Fun, but sometimes frustrating. Yeah, but I don't know. This one, I really love it because every Minecraft world is different because you can either start randomly generated or with a seed. And I love the amount of exploration that you can do. And I like that I can play it on like super easy so that you don't just keep getting murdered over and over every night when the monsters come out at first. Like,
well, see, my son, when he plays, as soon as it gets nighttime, it's either go and sleep, like he makes me go sleep, or he just hides. I'm like, you got to get out, like play the game. Like, you can't just be daytime. Like, if you want to do that, I may as well just set it to just daytime all the time.
Well, so Tyler and I have actually played some tougher versions where like the enemies level with you and they're like, they have all sorts of like weapons and armor and that sort of thing. So you have like, you know, the skeleton archers with like crazy armor just beating your ass every single night. Yep. And so, we were sleeping through the night on that one because it was just like, we're going to go out there. We're going to get murdered by an Enderman or a skeleton we can't see in the trees. And then we're going to lose all our shit and have to go back out together to get it. And then we'll probably both die. It's just.
I can't tell you the amount of times a heart was racing and I'm sweating with fear over a stupid fucking video game because I was going to die. Like, it's crazy. And like, I've watched people play Minecraft for years, like literally hours. I would easily watch like a 2-hour video on someone playing Minecraft.
Yep. Without thinking about it.
But like, they make it look so easy. They're just like, no worry at all. Yeah. I'm just going to go out. I'll kill whatever comes near me. Like,
well, that's how Tyler is. It like never fazes him. It's nuts. How are you doing this?
Stressful to me.
Yeah, no, me too. It's, that's why I play everything on easy though, because I know my limits and I know I'm not great and like I will get anxious and I will suck. So I just play everything on easy. But I guess the big one, the big part of this one that I think could be appealing to makers is basically that you're always using physical crafting in game, where you are putting objects into a certain configuration in a crafting table or an altar or like your furnace. Like, there's always different places that things have to go. And so you have to figure out recipes to make everything. And it's, I don't know, it's just always really fun to kind of try to progress in the game. I always enjoy progressing.
I'm assuming that the normal vanilla on PC, like the full game, is still that. Like, you still have to learn the recipes and everything. Whereas the one that you play when you play with the Switch or whatever, like the one that my son plays,
you have like
it has like the menu and you can click on what you want to build and it will only show you what you have materials for and stuff. And I don't like that. I grew up on Minecraft having to remember all the recipes.
Same. Definitely. Yeah, I definitely prefer the PC version to everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else, I just
Google was your friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Minecraft wikis, we probably had that open the entire time we were playing for, like, the hundreds of hours we've played it. It's just, so good.
Well, it was even to the extent where they probably still do, but they sold books on how to play, like a recipe book.
Yep.
But
yeah, and they're like thick, especially if if you get one for the modded, it can be crazy. It's just amazing how much you can do in the game. Like, I know it's not pretty to look at necessarily, but modded Minecraft can be because you can get skins and
I have seen some insane shaders. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Tyler played with that a little bit. We didn't really get into it, but I love installing texture packs and like getting totally new colors and, you know, I guess skins for everything in game. It's just,
which you now have to pay for?
Nope.
I thought you did. To change your character skin? I thought you had to pay for it.
Oh, maybe they changed that. But
I'm pretty sure they changed it.
Like the in game items and the environments. Yeah. That's free for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Texture packs and stuff, I think, is still good. But because you used to be able to change your skin to whatever you want. And everyone would always try to make funny skins and stuff. But I'm pretty sure now you've got to pay to have a custom one or. Maybe you have to pay to have certain ones. I don't remember, but I remember seeing something about you have to pay for it now. Because ever since Microsoft sold it, it went downhill. Mojang sold it. So Microsoft,
Mojang
it
sold
went
to Microsoft, yeah, it's definitely changed a bit. Yeah. It's more commercial than it ever was because
the Elon Musk of gaming.
It's because, thinking about it, we bought it when it first came out, when it was like the early release, and that was $10 or $20. So like we've played less than $50 for two games that we've played forever. Like we've probably played Minecraft for over a decade at this point. Yep. So it's like, good value for that one. Unlike a lot of games these days, but I won't bitch about that. So what about Fallout? Have you played Fallout?
I've never played it. No.
Okay.
So I don't even know what it really is.
Okay. Well, Fallout is fantastic. So the one we're going to be specifically talking about tonight is Fallout 4. That is the one with the most crafting. But I think maybe Fallout 3 is my favorite. I just have more warm feelings because that was my first shooter, like action RPG that I ever played because Tyler had it for Xbox. And it was like, I'm really bad at this, but I really like it. And so I eventually was able to like survive. And now I'm totally addicted to the game. So the story of Fallout is basically total world nuclear annihilation. There has been a nuclear war and everything has just been fucked pretty much. Everybody who wasn't underground, is mutated and or dead. Most of them are dead. And so you are in a very empty world, sort of exploring and meeting interesting creatures and that sort of thing. But so the story for Fallout 4, you are like, I think right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. It is the year 2287. And you've just exited your nuclear fallout shelter, which is called Vault 111. You have basically nothing. And it's been 210 years since you went into the vault. Right. So you haven't been outside for 210 years. And everything is kind of barren and fucked up. And all of the creatures that survived are super mutated. So you have all sorts of wild enemies, both humans who are just sort of like all struggling to survive and therefore trying to kill you, or I think the worst one is the Mire Lurk, which is like a giant crab mutant thing that's in the swamps. I hate them. Or the super mutants, which are, very tall, sort of like giant green mutants that have crazy power weapons. So the reason I think I love this one so much is that there are like a ton of different ways you can craft. So you can cook. You can make chemicals and medicines, repair and modify armor and guns. You have power armor that you can upgrade and repair. And almost anything that you pick up, you can use parts of it to make stuff. So you're just like in a building, just be like, I'll take this ashtray and this alarm clock. Oh, I'll take that and that and that. You're just like grabbing everything, like a coffee mug, cigarettes, like just everything. You can just do so much in it. And then in this one, it's sort of, I don't know if this was the first one where, I think it was the first one where it introduced base building. So you could also like customize your environment and make new stuff, which was fun as well. Though I didn't do as much of that because it's not really necessary because you're just questing all the time. You know, it's not like you're just hanging out somewhere. So I never really spent any time on that, because Fallout is one of those games where you have a huge world and a ton of quests to do, and so you can just play it forever. I think I've played Fallout for probably 200, 250 hours, just because there's so much to do, and I've done multiple games. So if that sounds good.
I feel like they're like their cover picture is deceiving, because I just assumed, I always thought Fallout was like a Call of Duty game.
Oh.
Like the, because the picture's just like someone, like a mask that you would wear, like Call of Duty or whatever. So like that, it kind of gives that vibe of just being a first person shooter.
Well, so that is the power armor that is in the game, is what you're seeing. It's like a power armor helmet. I think maybe that one is specifically Brotherhood of Steel, which is one of the like clans in the game that you interact with. It's definitely, it's probably the toughest, like grittiest, most action game on this list that I've played. Because it's, I don't know, you can play it like it's a first-person shooter, but I always use, I just went completely blank. But there's basically a system where it's kind of like an RPG, and you can decide which part of the enemy's body you want to attack, and it'll like auto-aim for you. That's what it is. That's what the system is called. So it makes it easier. And that I think is why it's the first one I got into and stuck with, just because I had a choice of combat modes, because I am the sort of person that either sneaks around or needs turn-based combat. Like I want to assassinate people or I want to have turn-based combat, or I'm like stressed and dead.
One of my favorite games, my favorite game of all time is Hitman. Because I love sneaking around. Yeah. I love sneaking around. Like even like when I say I played Call of Duty for 12 months, like I primarily used a sniper, but I wasn't someone that just like camped. I ran around with the sniper. Like I got really good at quick scoping with the sniper and stuff. But I just love the aspect of being trying to hide and like take people out and stuff. Like Hitman to me is one of the best games ever made. Hitman and there's another game I played similar to it. Just Cause. No. Yeah? Maybe? I don't know. Anyway. On to other games.
I'm not super good at stealth when it's in shooters. Like Metal Gear Solid and Hitman, not for me, because I just screw up and get found all the time. But speaking of stealth, the next game on the list is one that you can play in stealth mode, and it's fantastic as an archer. So I highly recommend people go that route if you're not good at fighting. But so now we're going to talk about Skyrim. So have you played Skyrim?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I love this one. One came out in 2011. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo Switch. It's an action RPG. Basically, you are the hero and you're going to kill a dragon. That's like the essential quest line of the game. But there's so much to do, and there are so many races that you can play as. And, you know, you can be melee, you can be like heavy armor, light armor, archery, swords. Like there's so many things that you can do to customize your character. And I always play as a Khajiit archer for the most part. Khajiit is a like cat race of people, and I love them so much. But yeah, I can just sneak around and kill people, and it's fantastic, and it doesn't stress me out. And yeah, I love it.
I think Skyrim is one of the first real sort of open world and realistic games that I can remember being made. It's super open world. And then also it was kind of like the original Red Dead Redemption in a way. Like if you have a warrant out for your arrest in a town and you go back to that town, like you're getting chased and you're getting
fucked. The guards are mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that was like the new thing, you know, like it was actually felt more realistic, more real life sort of thing. Although it does have like magic and stuff in it, but you also like, so your goal as well is to upgrade, you know, like sneak and all that sort of stuff and get your points up, because then you get better at stuff. So, yeah.
And even this one, like you can level up your crafting. I think that's something that I was really into with this, because it's another game kind of like, Fallout where it's just like, there's so much shit that you can make and collect. And so yeah. like you can do cooking, potions and poisons, enchanting your items, smithing armor, smelting stuff that you mine, tanning hides. So you can go hunting for animals and tan hides and then make leather from that, like, and then make armor from that. Cause I almost always did like leather or silver armor for the most part. Cause it's like super light. And yeah, I just, I loved exploring, going to all the different regions, finding all the materials I needed to get the best set of armor. Like, it was just a super immersive, really fun game. And the story is pretty good, honestly. Like, it, the, yeah. I guess the lore of the game is so deep because, I mean, it is like an Oblivion game. So there's a lot of story. There's a lot of dialogue. There are like thousands of books you can read in the game. Have you ever tried to read everything?
No. So I've got a mate that reads everything. My best friend is like obsessed. Like, he will read. It takes him a day just to set up his character, if you can customize your character. Like, he is the most annoying person to play a game with. Like, he gets so pissed off at me because I skip all cutscenes.
Tyler, depending on, like,
I've watched all the Hitman ones because that's my favorite game. And there was another game I played, the other one I was trying to think of that I watched all the cutscenes for. But like anything else, like Call of Duty, I never even knew that Call of Duty had a storyline.
Oh.
Like, because I skip it all.
Yeah.
To me, it's like I knew that there was a storyline for each game, but I didn't realize that they followed onto each other. So like the whole yeah. series of Call of Duty all runs together. I never knew that because I skip it all. And my mate, like, if we're playing a multiplayer game and I press skip, he gets so pissed off at me.
Oh no. That's how I play Disney Dreamlight Valley. I'm just like skip, 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 skip. What item yeah. do I need to get next? I can't stand it.
If I wanted to watch a movie, then I would watch a movie.
Mm, I want the action. Well, and speaking of that, that's why I did not like Final Fantasy 15. Or I think it was 15. That's the one with the car and you're like on a road trip, I'm pretty sure. It was so miserable because you do like get out of the car, two steps, cutscene. And then like you walk into the gas station, cutscene. It was just constant. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that would drive me insane. Or like you have cutscenes that you can't skip pisses me off so much.
Yeah. There have been times where I've like gotten up and wandered around the house just because I'm like, I don't really need to know this. So I'll just do something else for 2 minutes while they're talking about something I don't know about because I've been skipping for, you know, hours.
Well, that's the worst. Like, if you like you play Skyrim and you skip everything and then it's like, fuck, what's my quest? I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, well, that's another reason that I like Skyrim is that, like, their quest management system is really good.
Yeah.
For the amount of shit that they give you, I've only had issues maybe, like, I would say less than 5 times in all the years that I've been playing it where something has bugged with the quests. Like, normally it shows you where you need to go and, like, you're fine. But they do have a lot for you to do.
And they're very open. Like, it'll take you a long time to go from one town to another.
Mm-hmm.
Which bothered me a bit. If I didn't have much time to play, I'm like, I've spent the whole time just going from one town to the other. Okay, time to get off.
Yeah, so most people that have played Skyrim know that you can like go up mountains sort of diagonally. And so I would do a lot of that. I would just run in a direct line to whatever city I was trying to go and just like do weird shit to get over the mountains or like whatever was in between it. And just run from all the enemies because it was just like, I just really need to get there and I don't want to take the road and have to have like conversations with a bunch of NPCs or like get attacked by someone on the main road. It's just,
Yeah. Well, let's see. If you don't want to be on the road, you could be on the water. Because our next game is Raft, a game I also have not played, but I've watched so people play it and it looks fun.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's more stressful than everything about it, I think. So this one is PC. It's 2022. It's pretty recent. I think maybe Tyler and I played the early access on stream because I know we played it before then. But this is a survival sandbox. So yet again, you don't really have quests. You're just trying to survive. And you basically are stuck on an ocean raft and you just have to collect shit that comes up to the raft around you. So there is plastic and wood that you can pick up out of the ocean and make shit with, like add stuff to your raft. You have to feed yourself. You have to drink. You have to, you know, like make sure that you're fishing or growing stuff on the raft to feed yourself. You can do a little bit of exploring, but it's mostly not suggested in the beginning because there are sharks. There are so many sharks and they stress me out so bad. Like, they basically just circle you the entire time until you kill them. And while they're circling, they'll grab a piece of your raft. And if you don't attack them and get it off, they take that whole square of the raft with them.
Yeah.
So your raft can get really small, really fast. So it's a little more stressful, but it's fun if you're playing with multiple people just because you can kind of be focusing on different things. Because, you know, if you're alone on the raft,
fuck around with each other and stuff.
Yeah, it's just, it's too much. Like, you feel like you don't have a moment to breathe because you're just doing so much stuff.
Yeah, but the people I've watched play it are played in, like, groups and, like, you know, they play pranks on each other and stuff, which is what's games like that. I feel like that's where the fun is. It's the playing with other people. There's some games that just aren't the same without other people.
Yeah, this is definitely one of them. Like, I don't think I would have played it by myself.
Yeah.
I just think I would have kind of got bored of it pretty quickly because, there's only so much you can accomplish as one person. And so you don't progress as quickly and it's, like, stressful. But, I really like this one because, you know, the further you get, the more you can do, the more islands you'll come across, the more you can get in the water. So, like, a lot of stuff opens up to you, which is really fun. And yeah, there's so much crafting. Like, you're doing cooking, crafting, farming, fishing. Like, there's so much stuff that you have to do just to keep yourself alive. So yeah, that one is pretty fun. But now we'll go somewhere totally different. No Man's Sky. Have you played that one?
Yes. My mates and I played this game. We loved it.
Did you play it when it first came out or after all the updates?
No, we got it like the day it came out.
Oh, see, Tyler and I did too, and I didn't stick with it when it first came out.
Oh, really? I think we played through the updates and everything, but it was a fun game.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
So this one is 2016 is when it originally came out, but it has been updated pretty regularly since it came out. There was a lot of drama, if anyone wants to do some light reading about video game drama, when it was released, that it didn't really live up to the promises that the head of the company had, you know, told everybody the game was going to be like. And so a lot of people were mad, including me. It just didn't have a lot to do, and they didn't really have quests in place at that point. Like, there wasn't a story, and a lot of the traveling from planet to planet was really sort of shitty, and the resource management was crazy. And it just, there were so many things that I didn't enjoy about it, but I went back to it 2 years ago, and it was amazing. Or maybe it was a year ago. But it's so good now. It's like totally different from when it was first released.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would give it a go, but we're waiting on Starship. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Cannot wait. I've seen
that. So. It does look really good. It looks like a very beautiful version of No Man's Sky. But so yeah, for No Man's Sky, you can collect resources and upgrade your spaceship and your spacesuit. I also have to build a base or multiple bases. Like, I played it on PS5 the most, and I would say that I have probably, I don't know, like 5 different bases in different galaxies and different worlds, just because when you travel somewhere, you kind of need a place to touch down and put all your shit away, because you will sometimes get shot at and murdered in space and lose everything, because you basically crash onto a planet and have to start with your ship being broken and losing items, and you just sort of have to start from the beginning again sometimes when you crash. So it can be a lot if you don't have a lot of home bases or a lot of supplies on you to repair the ship. The really cool thing about this one is that you basically, it's all about space travel. So you are traveling, yeah, from galaxy to cluster to cluster to planet to moon. Like, you are doing a lot of stuff, and all of the different planets have different resources that you can gather on them. So you're having to do a lot of travel to do any sort of progression, which I think is really fun, because anything where I can do like a warp travel or like a quick travel, yeah, that's my jam.
I got really into like upgrading ships and selling them for, yes, profit and all that sort of stuff, which was really fun. But then you've also got like the base ships as well, like the big ship that you build, the big spaceship, I guess they call it.
Freighter.
They were fun, and you could actually customize them really good, like inside. You could interior design them and stuff.
Yeah, and the freighter, the really cool thing about the freighter is that it's essentially kind of a mobile base, because as long as you're like in the area, you can just get to it, and you can store so much stuff in it, because the one complaint that I still have is just that like it can be really hard to find a ship with all of the upgrades and the storage you want. So like, yeah, once you get a freighter, it's just like, make all the things. I have all the spots for supplies now. Like, that is the only thing that bothers me, is just that your inventory isn't very big. And so, yeah, there'll be a lot of times where you're like on a planet thousands of light years from your base, and you're like, what am I going to drop? Because I have to drop something, because this thing's more valuable, and it's constant resource management for a little bit, which is not my favorite, but I think it's good.
The only complaint I really had with it was it took so long to actually leave the beginning. Mm-hmm. It took so long. Like, and all my mates, we wanted to play multiplayer, but you can't until you've actually finished the first sort of island part and leave on your first ship. And it took so long.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the longer games, because they really want to like acquaint you with the world and how things work. And so, you really have to go through it. It takes
forever. You have to build like a full base and everything before you can even think about trying to make the ship. And
they really give you a lot of stuff at first, and then it's sort of chaos after that. It kind of turns into the thing where as long as you have the stuff to make like fuel and batteries and like keep your shields on your ship up, you can pretty much go everywhere. And it's so good. But yeah, I would say this is the largest game on here by far, just because, I mean, when I played it like a year or two ago, I rarely landed on a planet that someone else had ever visited. Like, that's how big the game is. You're constantly like discovering things, and it's, you know, or like you might land on one where one other person has been there. Like, it's really rare.
There's so many planets. It's not funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just amazing. I don't know. It's so good now. Like, I definitely was not a fan at the beginning, but it is so good. The only thing that bummed me out is that the storyline, have you done the quests, like done the main story?
I think we did a little bit, but once we were all playing together, we sort of moved away from it.
Yeah. So I finished that just because I wanted to. It was like genuinely very upsetting and sad. I was just like, this sucks. Like, I spent, 60 to 80 hours to just be like, crying at the end of the game, like, come on. It was if you just want to play and like gather stuff and make stuff, and especially base building, I think that's the thing that is so good about this one, is that there's so many things that you can do to customize your base, and you can have different bases in so many places, and you can fast travel between the bases, and there's so much stuff that you can build, like equipment to put in your base to customize it. It's just really, really fun when it comes to that stuff. All right. So Subnautica, have you played this one?
I haven't played this one. No.
Oh, this one. Okay. I love this one, but I'm just going to say this up top. If you have thalassophobia, which is basically like fear of big bodies of water, deep bodies of water, it might not be the game for you, because you are almost always bobbing on the surface, not able to see what's happening, are very far underwater with creatures that move a lot better than you. So it's, you know, that's a warning up top, because it, like, I've heard online and watched videos of like people completely losing their shit over like some of the enemies that you encounter in the water. So, you know, but this one, it came out in 2018, and it's another one where they've kept doing updates. It has a DLC now, I think, where it's like an Arctic world. I haven't played that one. And this one is really on all platforms and PC and Mac. And this one's considered action adventure survival. So basically, you are the only survivor of a giant spaceship that has crashed onto a planet that is covered in ocean. So right. There's no land that you can see at all from where you are. And you're just in sort of like a crash pod, like a little survival pod, because you like jettisoned from the ship. And right. Yeah, it is kind of terrifying, because I'm definitely a person who is a little scared of sea creatures. Like, that is something that freaks me the hell out. Any game where I have to go in the water, like a Far Cry, for example, if I have to go in the water and kill something in the water that's really big or something that's actively hunting me, it freaks me out. I can't handle it at all. But the good thing about this one is that you basically keep upgrading your ship and making new like vehicles. You're essentially like diving around looking for blueprints in the game. And once you have a blueprint, you have to gather the materials, and then you can get new vehicles and move faster underwater, hold your breath for longer, do that sort of stuff, or like up your air capacity of your tanks. So there's a lot of customization. And this is another one where you have to really focus on base building, because there's nowhere for you to go. And so at night, you know, when shit gets wild in the ocean, you kind of want somewhere to go. Or you want to have gotten the resources to get like batteries and lights and stuff like that, because it's just impossible to do anything if you don't. Trying to think. But yeah, this one is, it's amazing. But like I said, I'm kind of scared. So I haven't gotten that far. And this is another one that I play on easy, and I make it so that I don't have to drink, because normally you're having to worry about staying hydrated when you're in salt water all the time. And then also your oxygen at all times. So I just eliminate the water part so that it's like one less thing to worry about.
I can't remember what game it was that we were playing. It might have been Ark. Is it Ark? You've got to eat and stuff. One of the games where you've got to eat and drink and everything. And it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I was like, I hated it. I hated it so much.
Yeah, it's there's a version of Fallout, like when you, I can't remember, it might be the Survivor level, or like, I don't remember what it's called, but yeah, you have to eat and drink and like keep up with your health at all times. And it's just, wow, that's stressful. I can't do it. Oh, and here we go. So this is the last game we want to talk about tonight, Rust. So this is 2018. On PC, Mac, PS4, Xbox One, and this is Survivor multiplayer. So I have no personal experience, so I'm going to let Adam talk about this.
So Rust is actually one of my favorite games, and actually you have to eat and drink in it, but it's not as bad. Like it's not that bad. Like you mainly eat and drink to get your health back up, and it goes down reasonably like slow enough that you're not just constantly thinking about it. I love Rust. I really want to get back into it. The only problem with it is so heavily played by so many people that if you don't get on daily, you pretty much like can't keep up. Because so essentially with Rust, you need to build a base and you raid other people's bases, destroy their bases to like get their stuff and all that. So like if you don't get on in a day, you're basically going to be raided when you come back. But like one of the things I love about it though is that people are just constantly finding new ways to make their bases stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's a really good game to sort of give yourself a challenge with. So a lot of the YouTubers I watch a lot of Rust content now, and a lot of the YouTubers that I watch, every video is like a new sort of challenge. Like I lived in a cave for the wipe or whatever, and all that sort of stuff. And one of the ones I watched the other day was so good. It was, so there's two caves I'm pretty sure you can live in, but you can only build in a certain spot. And to get to that spot, you have to go through a tunnel, which you can essentially block off for your base so people can't get through. And the only way to get out from there is to get in a bucket, which raises you to the top. So what he did is he built a wall for the tunnel and then like honeycombed it with more walls. So it was like it was like 13 rockets or something to get into it, which is really hard to come by unless you're like a massive clan.
Yeah.
So, and the only way that he could get in his base was to drop down the hole where the bucket is and kill himself. And then he would spawn back in his base at his bed, go out and get his stuff and come back. But the best thing is that no one could get into his base.
Yeah.
So like, shit like that. It's so insane. The things that people come up with, it is so like interesting and fun.
Yeah.
The game itself though is amazing. It's terrifying because people are so good at it.
Yeah. And people are so weird in it too.
Yeah.
That's another reason.
A lot of cheaters as well, which isn't good. Like there's heaps of cheaters. They're pretty good at banning people like pretty quick, but like the mods are usually really good. And you can easily tell if someone's cheating because like it's like you can tell if their shots are bullshit or not. Like they're not even aiming towards you and just, yeah, you can tell. But you can look at the logs and stuff to see like how much health people are taking off each other or how much you took off them and they took off you. So you can see like if there's more than there should have been, all that sort of stuff. But like the base building and stuff was one of the funnest things that I have ever had in a game, with like being able to design it how you want it and sort of make your own sort of custom shapes and bases and all that sort of stuff, which was really fun. So
yeah, I haven't really seen a lot of base building, but I have watched Tyler do a bunch of like running around trying to gather stuff and trying to stay alive. And yeah. I think the thing I enjoy the most just watching the game is the weird interactions that you have with other players. Like, yeah. Both watching Tyler and watching videos, I've seen so many instances of you like show up in a house, there's already a person there, and you're both just standing there totally still. And somebody's like, okay, like, are you friendly? Are you going to kill me? Like, please don't kill me. I just started, please don't kill me. And they're like talking to each other. Like, this
I'm is naked. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm naked. I don't have anything, man. I just died. It was just.
So that's so a funny thing. That's a funny thing with Rust is you can choose in the settings how much clothing you have on. So you're either completely naked, blurred, or have like clothes, not clothes, but like undies, or if you're a girl, undies and a bra on. And so it's really funny when like, but I think what you choose is what everyone else has as well. So like I pick naked, everyone else is naked, because the whole reason they've done it is because if you're like a streamer or a YouTuber, you don't want to have everyone naked because like you get demonetized and all that. So yeah. But yeah, and Rust is constantly coming out with updates like very regularly. So like with Rust, the thing is that the server wipes every week or a month. And there's a difference between like force wipe and normal wipe. So when you're in Rust, you learn blueprints, and then you need to have a workbench and the materials. You have to make everything. You have to know the blueprint. There's a tech tree that you can learn using like scrap to learn it, or if you research items and stuff. So if your server resets weekly, you lose everything and start again, but you keep your blueprints. But if it's a force wipe, you lose all the blueprints as well. So you might join a server where it's just wiped, but everyone still has their blueprints, so they're really quick to build back up and get their stuff back.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a force wipe, everyone starts on the same playing field. But I think that's what makes Rust so fun, is that you play it, you get through the wipe, and then it's like a whole new game again. You're forced to start again, which when I first started playing it, I was like, that sounds stupid. I'm going to do all this and then just lose everything. But it actually made it more fun, because then you're like, all right, time to reset and try something different.
Yes. Yeah. And actually a game so Tyler's number one game right now is Tarkov. And it's the same thing where everything resets and you have to start over. And I had the same reaction when he told me that. It was like, that sucks. Like, that sucks a lot, because everything I play is so gathering and resource heavy. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. But yeah, he's super excited every time it wipes and goes back to it.
Yeah.
And he's playing like every morning, you know, just so that he can get back up to speed with everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just bad at it.
I don't know if Tarkov has it, but Rust has a lot of, like, you can play vanilla or modded servers. And the modded servers are really fun. Like, I think if I do get back into it, I'll play modded servers, because you can play, like, a 10 times server where when you hit a tree, it gives you 10 times what it would normally give you. So it's like really quick to get resources and stuff. Yeah. Or like there's other ones where it's like there's loot boxes like everywhere. And there's modded servers where they'll give you the most random things. Like you crack open a barrel, which would normally give you some scrap and a piece of tarp or something. And you crack it open, it gives you a rocket launcher and a gun.
Oh my God. Thank you. That's amazing.
It's ripped.
Yeah, it's ripped. You ripped it. Yeah, but
I don't know. So
I like it.
I actually don't know much about the crafting. The only thing that I really know about Rust is that you do start kind of like Minecraft, where you're like hitting a rock with a tree. Like instead
literally
of
literally start a tree with a torch Minecraft, and a rock.
Yeah, you literally start with
every time you so every time you die, you spawn back with a rock and a torch. If you don't have a bed or a sleeping bag down, you respawn at a random spawn point throughout the map.
Okay, so Minecraft.
If you have a bed,
all right.
Yeah. And if you have a bed or a sleeping bag, you can have heaps of them. You can pick where you're going to spawn, but you can only spawn at it once. And then there's a timer. I can't remember how long. It might be 5 minutes for the timer. So what people do is like if they're raiding a base and the people are online, which is called an online raid, they'll kill the person. The person respawns at their bed. They'll kill them again, and then they know they've got 5 minutes before that person respawn back there. And especially because. So the map sort of plays in tiers. It's like easy and then medium and hard. And all it is the further away from the spawn points you get is where all the big bases and harder teams sort of go. It's not like specific, like you can't play on this part unless you are hard. It just sort of works out that way. But if you are in the hard area and you kill someone, you know it's going to take them forever to run from the top of the map back down.
Yeah.
So you're pretty safe.
No. Yeah. I hate games where that happens, though. Like, I tried World of Warcraft for a little bit, and then I'm trying to think what the other one was that was online. Oh, no. Yeah, another RPG very similar to that. And, yeah, both the thing, it was like, the last major town you were in, you'd respawn there. And so, like, getting killed by something super low level and then having to run forever to get back to where you were, that was always so rough. I like easier restarts than that. I'm trying to think are there any other games that you can think of that have good crafting?
I have a couple, but I was going to save them for the after show.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. And you know who gets access to our after show?
Our Patreons.
Our Patreons, yes. So I want to thank our Patreon supporters, every single one of you, especially our F-Clamp level, who are Vincent Ferrari from Digitally Creative, Scott from Dad It Yourself DIY, Joe Hardina, Rich from Low End Design, and David Wood from DW Wood Builds. Anyone who supports us on Patreon, we really appreciate it. You get access to the pre-show, after show, monthly hangouts on Discord, and a custom keychain made by our one and only Grant, who's not here this week. And if you'd like to support us, patreon.com/clamp. And now on to Clampmendations.
Clampmendations!
So my recommendation for this week is a girl on Instagram called Black Forager. She does the most amazing videos showcasing local plants and just all the different things that you can eat outside. I love her like entire attitude and everything about her. She is just so pleasant to watch. And honestly, today she made a post called Depression Plant Time. And I'm like, I have never related to something so hard in my life. if you like plants, you're interested in foraging, you just want to know like about how they're used, any of that stuff, Black Forager on Instagram. She has 1.4 million followers and deserves more, I think, because she's amazing.
Cool. My clampmendation for this week is actually a change it while we're talking. It's a new TV show that's come out called Twisted Metal, which is pretty much a TV series of the game Twisted Metal, which is why I decided to choose it. I've been watching it. I started watching it because it has one of my favorite actresses in it, Stephanie Beatriz. I think that's how you say her last name. I don't know. She's a babe, and I wanted to watch it. So I started watching it. It's actually a really, really good show. Oh. I'm really enjoying it. Looking forward to season two, but I haven't finished season one yet. But yeah, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I heard this was happening, and then I just totally forgot.
Yeah.
But now
I don't know. Do you guys have Stan? Is Stan a thing over there, or is that an Australian company?
I think it's Australia.
I don't know. Yeah, that doesn't. I don't know where you would watch it then.
I'm gonna look. Oh, Peacock. So NBC.
Okay.
For us, yeah, yeah. I'll have to look because I'm pretty sure we still have a subscription to that.
Yeah. Well, it's a great TV show. Yeah, they did. They've done a great job with it, making it look real.
It's
like really follows the game well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I probably need to watch that.
Let's see.
Yeah, that is right. That is a game that's like sentimental, but another one I suck at.
Yeah, it's a fun game, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's just so weird compared to a lot of other games that were available like in the 90s. Yeah, it was really fun. So I guess we will move on to the Ask Us Anything question for the week. So this week it's from DW Woodbuilds, and he asks, when making absolute or relative measurements, would you like to go first or should I?
I'll go first. It depends on what I'm making. Okay, you go first because my son wants to talk.
Okay. So for me, I would say mostly relative, just because a lot of the things that I do are sort of freestyle. You know, thinking about embroidery and sewing and cooking, a lot of that I just kind of make shit up as I go along, you know, holding pieces up to each other. That I think is also probably why I suck so bad at 3D design, because you have to be like much more precise and really think about things.
Yeah.
I would say mostly relative, just because I can't be fucked to measure properly.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm pretty relative. Like, depends. Like, if I'm making something like a wooden box or something, I'm relative to the point of like a couple of millimeters. Mm-hmm. But I'm precise in that way, though. It's like it's got to be like as close to the line as I can for the millimeter it's meant to be. I'm not measuring like the exact same amount. And I will try to like layer two pieces on top of each other and cut them both to the same length and all that sort of stuff. But like a millimeter is not going to matter that much. But getting into like 3D printing and stuff, yeah, it's been a learning curve of like precise measurements. Mm-hmm. And like, I tried to make a 3D printer to like I designed and printed a tray to hold like all my sockets and socket set like ratchet and everything, and like just little things just not perfect enough because like it was a hard measurement to get. So I was like, okay, well it's about that. I'll just add a little bit on, and it just wasn't enough.
Yeah. But I guess the one advantage with 3D printing is you can just try again. Like for the THC cookie stamps I'm always talking about that I make for Tyler's job, like there have been so many iterations of that and so many like bizarrely sized and shaped ones just because I was just wanting to see how it looked physically, because sometimes my brain just doesn't work when it comes to absolute measurement. Right, so we do the outro and see if I can get through it.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Alrighty. So we would like to thank TF Turning for our theme music. If you would like to find us on social, you can find us at Clampcast on Instagram. I think it's also maybe Clampcast, or is it Clampstagram on Instagram? See, I didn't look before we did this, but you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, pretty much everywhere. Just search Clamp Podcast and we will show up and you can find us. We also have a Discord server that you can join for free. We have a story highlight on an Instagram page where you can join. We would love to talk to you about making, what you're working on, any of that sort of stuff. We also have Patreon exclusive hangouts over there once a month, which we need to schedule.
I was thinking about that yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, we need to get that scheduled. So yeah, Patreons, that will be happening very soon because we're halfway through.
Probably next week.
And yeah, hopefully. If you enjoy Clamp, you can share the show with your friends. You can leave us a review on Apple Or, you know, Spotify. I think those are the two major places maybe where you can you know, 5 stars or reviews. So yeah, reviews, sharing the show always helps and we appreciate it. And yeah, that is it. I hope you guys liked this sort of like off the wall episode. This is definitely something that we've never really done. I liked it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We should get ready to Grant more often.
Sorry, Grant. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.